So what happened was, I think this chair, he tried to ask the monk, can meditation help him to overcome his anger and all those things? So he used the title, he attempt to meditate with a Buddhist monk. So this Buddhist monk introduced to him insight meditation, INSIGHT. He said, this meditation will help you, it's suitable for you. So after that, the monk took this chair, gotten into the temple. Then he started teaching the so-called insight meditation. Those who have viewed the video, you would have observed this is a typical thought-based meditation. The word they use, insight meditation, I need to explain a bit. Insight means vipassana in Pali, in the definition of the word, the Pali word, vipassana. There are two parts. Vi is the three characteristics of nature. Passana is to insight into. So when we talk about vipassana, bhavana or meditation is whatever meditation that can lead to insight into these three universal characteristics of nature to awaken. That is vipassana. And these three universal characteristics we have gone through, one is anicca, dukkha, and anatta. The English translation is anicca is impermanent. Because it's impermanent, if you want things your way, which is not nature's way, it will lead to suffering. Suffering is dukkha, dukkha. Then because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that we can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me, this is I, means our physical body and mind, the five aggregates of form of mind. That's why this body is anatta. Non-self or not a permanent unchanging entity. And because it's impermanent, it's dependent origination or dependent originating condition arising phenomena. Therefore, it is empty, anatta nature. So this is the definition. So based on this definition, you will understand that all the thought-based meditation is a series of instruction to do things. It has nothing to do with insight yet. It's like a preparatory thing. So what is shown there is the typical thought-based noting. They stand, then they note, standing, standing, standing. Then this particular Thai monk one, he used left leg and right leg. It's like the instruction is left leg aware, right leg aware. But he did it so slow until that chair, Gordon, he said, it's a torture, isn't it? He said, so boring, so dull. Then last time during the early day, I remember in Brickfield, there was one lady, Nancy, he first time went for this type of typical vipassana meditation alone. He said that type of walking meditation that is so slow, he almost fell off. He said like a zombie, he doesn't know what he's doing. So if you don't explain things clearly and you don't know what is going on, meditation turned out to be method and technique. And they think this is vipassana. So we just let things be. We don't want to comment too much, otherwise it become a problem. So the real understanding is very important. If you know vipassana is to insight into the three universal characteristics, you have to find out what type of mind can give rise to this. So like the Buddha in his teaching, he specifically mentioned heedfulness. To be heedful, you have to be ever mindful and constantly meditative. As per Dhammapada verse 23. So, to be ever mindful, You first have to train your mind to be aware, to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. But this was not taught, not explained also. And they come out with this method and technique because they cannot control their mind. And they doesn't know that why their mind cannot be peaceful, cannot be in the meditative state. Actually, you check the teaching, it's explained there. The teaching explained very clearly. It is because of the five mental hindrances that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. That's why you cannot be peaceful. You cannot have clarity. You cannot be aware. Your this mind has the mental hindrance. And the mental hindrance create hindrance for your mind. And it prevents it from entering the inner peace, inner awareness, the meditative state. So if your mind is not able to enter the meditative state, you will have problem in meditation. But they don't know the reason behind. So all of meditation, the traditional one, it seems, they think they must control this mind. They must do something to it. Either control it, suppress it, or to anchor it to labeling it. Otherwise, they cannot do the necessary thing to make it peaceful or calm or heedful or don't think. But they don't understand. The underlying reason is because they lack the opposite five spiritual faculties. So when you don't have the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, the mental hindrance will be there. And when it's there, the Buddha already said, don't fight it, don't suppress it, don't try to do anything to it. Just let it arise. Relax, maintain awareness, and find out why this thought, why this mental hindrance, why this movement. Then like the Satipatthana Sutta, the fourth foundation of mindfulness, Dhammanupassana. The first category of cultivation is mindfulness of the five mental hindrances. When there is this mental hindrance of sensual desire, you must be aware. When there is this mental hindrance of ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind or doubt, you must be aware. Then when you are aware, means mindful, without thought, then you will come to understand how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. Then after a while, you continue to maintain awareness or mindfulness, you realize this mental hindrance, if you don't go and give it meaning, you don't go and attach, cling, and continue to create mental proliferation, then it will cease to be because you let it be. Then the flowering of that thought, that mental hindrance, is the ending of that thought. I see it in the meditation, in your silent mind, in your awareness. Then when you see it disappear, it will be like in the sutta, the Buddha said, you will come to know how the arisen mental hindrance ceases to be. Then after that, you continue to meditate. The six internal sense bases and the six external sense bases to develop the wisdom, to come to understand all this movement clearly. And when you can understand all this movement clearly, then the Buddha gave the third instruction. He said, you will know how to trace the origination factor. Then through the tracing of the origination factor, straighten your view and retrospectively reverse it. That's how wisdom brings forth the ability to abandon the mental hindrance or whatever wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action, or even the evil roots and all those things, or whatever emotion you may have, whether it's anger, fear, delusion, or whatever. So it will cease to be. So this is how meditation is to be understood and developed. So the reason for all the method and technique, all the chanting or the vocalization and the slowing down, they don't know how to handle such situation. They don't know what is meditation as taught by the Buddha. They didn't have a clear understanding. They didn't go back to the essential Dhamma. That's why they become gullible. Then they just follow what people teach. Then according to one tradition, it seems come from Burma, they say this one is vipassana. It can make you enlightened, become an arahant, because the one that started is an arahant, it seems. So because of that, people become gullible, then everybody try to use this method and technique. Then they start to verbalize and labor. Then when they realize later on that all this verbalization and labeling doesn't help, what do? They try to do away with the labeling. In the first place, you know it is not going to make you aware or peaceful, then why do you go and do it, labor it? Like what Krishnamurti thought and what I came to understand, the moment you are without thought, you're already aware. Why must you learn how to be aware or try to be aware? Forget about all those things. That's why if you understand all this, then meditation become very easy. Meditation can be understood and developed much faster. So what is sati is very important. Sati is actually awareness before the knowing. The moment you know, the mundane mind arise, the aggregate of mind arise, you are thinking already, possible. You are no longer aware. So aware means what? Body and mind move as one. When you bow, just bow. When you walk, just walk. Like the Buddha says, standing, aware. Aware means what? The awareness and the body as one, not to go and labor with the word or verbalize with the word. Then, walking, aware, same. When you start to develop the physical activity to walk, this allow your body to move, then body and mind move as one. And in between, if you want to stabilize it and train yourself, which I have done last time, I did the bowing a lot. Body and mind is one. I just bow. I don't want to know. Bow until the sati come. Then my form and mind will know what sati is. But during that time, the awareness and the body move as one without thought. That's it. Then normally in the daily mindfulness, I remember how I train. I like to move my hand. You look at my hand, this right hand. I like to move it this way. So whatever movement like Tai Chi, if you can just move it and maintain awareness, but this will anchor your awareness to your kaya. When you are with the kaya, you cannot think. Do you understand? Body and mind move as one. But when you are not aware of this movement, then the thought comes in. But a lot of people don't know what awareness is. When they try to aware, they use the word note because they are so conditioned to note. Then they use the word verbalize, my hand moving. I am aware of my hand. The moment you do this, you are dead. Just that movement, activity, and your awareness move as one. Body and mind move as one. The phenomenal and the awareness move as one. Finish. Like the moving car. The awareness is within. Finish. There is a deep. But the moment you try to think about that car or perceive and do all those proliferation of thought, then you are no longer in the deep. You are lost in thought. So this is the first question. Yeah? So I have already answered. Yeah, the first question is, Ananda asks, what is your comment? Yeah? So he requests for comment on the insight meditation we reference to the YouTube video by Gordon Ramsay on the title Attempt to Meditate with a Buddhist Monk. Then the link is all there. Especially for people who are new to meditation. At the other part, after the walking, he teaches sitting meditation. Well, that one is the best. That chef, Gordon, I think after about 5 minutes, supposed to be 10 minutes, then he reduced to 5. After 5 minutes, he asked the chef, Gordon, how do you feel? He said, terrible. the Bhagavan Nambiar, he can't cross his leg. And he has a lot of problem. But he know, he think a lot. Then the advice by the monk, you know, what he advised him, he said, not thinking. Then he said, got food crisis. Critics, I think about food and all. Then he said, again, thinking. He just doesn't know what to do with it. He said, cannot. That's why after that he left. That's why under the second part, when Jin Hao asked that question, so that question, Jin Hao said, how do you deal with such a violent person if he happens to be your boss? So I answer him, this is not practical. Because if I were to answer you, I also equally gullible like you. Because it will be a theoretical answer. And you cannot learn from what I do. Because I also need to be in that moment in front of that particular person under that condition. Because he has his character, he has his personality. But at that time, the condition there will be different. Then how actually the situation arises, how I approach it, all will be different. That's why wisdom, you cannot learn. It's not rigid, it's not a knowledge. You cannot prepare to answer him. You cannot learn what I say then apply. Cannot. Because it's based on the understanding behind. That's why I say, forget about that question because it's not going to help. So a straightforward answer is you have to cultivate the Dhamma, learn the Dhamma, learn the wisdom. When you have the understanding of the Dhamma and the wisdom, and you know how to apply Noble Eightfold Path, then you can deal. You can deal. Otherwise, you can't. No way. Then I suggest to him, a better question will be, can such a person be trained to meditate? I say can. It can be trained, but in a different way. Not the way the monk teaching, not that type of insight meditation. So train means what? You need to have the wisdom, the understanding, to observe him, to find out what type of person he is, his character, his personality, and the way he approaches you and asks those questions. Where he is a Westerner, with that type of Western mind. And for Westerner, they are very inquisitive. They are not like Asianer. Asianer, very courteous one. Like don't want to antagonize you, paisei. So they're not ask you point blank question. Why you ask me to walk? Why you ask me to stand? Asian, they're not ask like that one. But this particular chap also, I think at that time his character different. The violent four-letter word or didn't come out. Do you realize that? He want to learn. That's why he had. But the approach was so rigid, means standard answer. You cannot apply a standard answer like one size fit all, like the size of your trousers or your shirt. Cannot be, right? Everyone is different, right? The sizes are different, right? Then you have to know their past, their character, their personality, the way they actually approach you. So he has been toned down and very courteous. Then you know he can't even sit on the floor. Why must you make him sit on the floor? That's why you say his bum is already having this, what they call, numbness already. Then it's like a horrific experience to him. Then the slow walking also is something so alien to him and make him so miserable. So how can you teach a person this type of meditation? And the worst is everyone that come also do the same. So if you have such a situation, definitely it's not going to happen. It is going to result in what you saw on the video. He just nicely tell the monk, not for me. 5 minutes, okay. More than 5 minutes is a hell, is a torture. That's how he walk off. Then on the car, it's like, released from the hell. So he said he will find his own nirvana with the food and other things. So it's quite interesting. So if I were to train this type of person based on what I observe and what I see, I will let him understand first. Then I will tell him, okay, if you want to learn meditation, I can try my very best to teach you. And it's quite simple when you understand. Yeah. I will explain a few things. I won't go into the depth of the Dhamma because like the mental hindrance and the spiritual faculty, he is not ready to understand all this. So what I need to tell him is to meditate is to enable your mind to become peaceful and quiet first. Then stabilize it to enable you to meditate, to develop the understanding, the awakening. So how to do that? The easiest way is to relax. Then silence your mind, don't think. That's why relax aware become very important. Then I can also tell him the posture is not important. According to the Buddha, you can meditate in any posture, whether you are standing, sitting, walking, or lying down, sleeping. Also, you can meditate, provided you maintain awareness or sati. So it's more appropriate and good advice to ask him to sit on a chair or a couch or lie down, relax. But don't fall asleep. Maintain awareness. Just maintain awareness. Means don't think. But the thoughts keep on coming out because the mental hindrance is there. He don't have the spiritual faculty. So during that time, you want to explain a bit, can, but don't go into detail. You say because you lack training, you lack the 5 spiritual faculty, the opposite 5 mental hindrance will be there to distract you, to cause you this thinking, heedless thinking and all that stuff. That's why you have to allow this thinking to slow down by itself. Don't do anything to it. Then it will lose its power to think further. But if you go and try to control it, suppress it, or do something so that it don't think, it becomes worse. The thought becomes more active. Yeah. So don't do anything. Relax. Enjoy yourself. Lie down. Maintain awareness. Means silence everything. Then observe. As an observer, means without the observer, just the observation with that silent mind. Later on, you will come to know that this silent mind, your true mind, is not a being, it's not a person, it's not a personality. There is no word, no thought, no ego, it's the incondition. It's just aware, just a nature. Yeah. So use that to observe, means there is no observer behind, it's just an observation by the silent mind. Then this silent mind will be aware of the movement. Why when you think about it, worry about it, or want to do something about it, the mind think more. But if you just let it be, relax, silent. And then you realize this thinking will slow down on its own. Initially, it may take a while because you are not used to it. Yeah, most of the time, you actually create thought energy without you being aware. So just let it be. Let that agitated state or the heedless thinking keep on arising. If you are patient enough, after maybe 5-10 minutes, you will start to realize a very beautiful phenomenon. The thinking starts to like slow down, slow down, slow. Initially it's bit by bit. But you know it's no longer actively thinking. You can just relax and let that thinking move by itself. That thinking is supported by deluded energy, understand? Heedless thinking energy. So once they dissipate, no more thinking, then the mundane mind, the thinking mind, will stop, completely stop. You must see that. See that happening. That is what meditation is all about. So relax is the first level. Relax got many levels. Body and mind completely relax is not easy. If you can relax, there is no stress. The thought will not move. But because you don't know how to relax, that's why it starts to create mental activity, thinking through memory. Because throughout the day, you are heedless most of the time. When you are heedless, your brain has no order. There are a lot of unfinished thinking or brain activity that you have created. And this arises through mental hindrance, like your sensual desire, your ill will, your sloth and torpor, tiredness, then you got nothing to do. You feel sleepy, lethargic, the mind, then very sloppy. So all this, you will come to feel. Because when you got nothing to do, relax, you will fall asleep. Why? Because mind become lethargic, sleepy. So this is a third mental hindrance. Then when you have problem, you think a lot, you worry a lot, fear, worry, anxiety will make you restless. Yeah, you got problem in life, especially when you break your precept or you got certain first noble true reality that actually disturb you or haunt you. Then you keep on thinking about it. That's why the mind becomes restless. It cannot settle down. But you can talk to the mind. I need to train the mind now. Do not distract me. Do not create all this question or fear, worry, anxiety, because I will deal with it later. Whatever, I will deal with it after the meditation. In the meantime, have mercy on me. Allow me to settle down, to develop the meditation accordingly, so that my mind can become calm, peaceful, and just aware of it. So if you were to do this, not long, you will develop the ability to be calm, peaceful, body and mind completely relaxed. Initially, you fall asleep, no problem, let it be. But every time you fall asleep, you will know how to wake up, because if you are mindful, you maintain that mindfulness, the first instant of the snoring, before it finish, it will wake you up really. It will make you aware again really. That's what meditation is all about. Then you continue to maintain awareness. Then after that, you will fall asleep again. Then again, when you are aware, it can hear that snoring. But when you are unconscious, fall into the subconscious and unconscious sleep, you don't know the snoring. You can't hear the snoring. That's why most people can't hear their snoring. Only cultivator, meditator, can hear their snoring. And when you hear it, that is the sense data that your hearing consciousness pick up, that you are aware at the moment of sense experience. That's why it can alert you, make you aware. That's how you maintain your mindfulness. And then later on, you realize you become skillful. You can stay with that silent awareness more and more without falling asleep. Then the mental hindrance all gone. Your sati take over. Then if your spiritual faculty is there, sadhaviriya is there, sati will come in very fast. Then when sati stabilize, you will realize pasati, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind without thought. Then mind enters sati. That's how that mind that enters sati transforms you. When your mind enters sati, everything you do is in sati. Walking, standing, bowing, turning, stretching, like the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha said, everything you do is in sati. Even hearing, seeing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought, process, activity. Everything is in sati, but your mind has entered sati. The sati is an enlightenment factor. You have to do it until like that. So you train them this way and let them understand. I tell you that Gordon, he will love meditation. He will like to meditate. The first time in his life, he's suddenly able to experience that peace, that inner peace, that calmness, the tranquility. No more agitated mind. No more mental hindrance. That is hateful mind, hateful living. Okay? Hope you all can understand. So this one can help you a lot in the meditation.